Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes changing up your makeup look for fall. From lashes for days with the viral Liquid Lash Extension Mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple just-gotta-get-out-the-door routine or fall glam that wows from the office to all your favorite fall festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
It's Power Hour, LSU.
Let's freaking go. I have Alabama winning by multiple possessions this weekend. I don't think any of you have a different opinion unless you want to speak forward. I hope you are correct. I would do nothing more than for LSU to go 4-0 and us ride into the sunset with Frank Wilson and a ton of donors building a super roster going into the 9-game conference schedule in 2026. Obviously, the big news from today is we're all in on Virge Ausberry as the athletic director. You see the thumbnail image. He took a photo with President Wade Roos, and we are just praying for alignment. I highly recommend you check out Preston Guy's epic rant on this channel. We even made a special video. That's how epic it was, and hopefully everything that all us talking heads have said over the past 2 weeks is just thrown under the bus as LSU moves forward in their head coaching search. You know, I released a video on my personal Twitter account a little bit earlier today because so many people point to the month of November being the best month in college football, and I simply could not disagree anymore. It used to be. But now, with how the coaching cycles work, the big story has nothing to do with the games. It has everything to do with all these job openings. You have four huge jobs that are open: LSU, Auburn, Florida, and of course, Penn State. You have a sleeping giant in Arkansas where if they do get the NIL commitment, their bags could get very deep very quickly. So all these jobs are open, right? You saw Wisconsin make a decision to go with Luke Fickell going in to next season. I could see that changing. I really could. He's been that bad. But, you know, for me, the month of November has kind of been stymied in many ways. Yeah, you have a team like Vanderbilt playing for their playoff lives. The same thing for Oklahoma. So you do have more cooks in the kitchen that could potentially make the college football playoff. But outside of that, everything in college football has been about the college football playoff. So even if we win this game versus Alabama, they can still comfortably make the playoff if they win their final three. And the likelihood of them winning their final three is still pretty high. They play Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, and Auburn. So they would need to get by Oklahoma for them to actually reach the college football playoff. I think they go 2-0 these next 2 weeks. They get back-to-back home games here, and they have a road game versus Auburn. So, you know, for me, I do not love the month of November, but it's still great. It's still rivalry week at the end of the month. And it's still one of those things where we really need to lock in and see if we could pull off this upset versus the stupid freaking Crimson Tide. It is Buck Fama all day, every day. Let's go. Let's go. Now, I do think the big story, before I get into all my statistical breakdowns like we always do on Thursday and give you my very expert opinion on this, and we'll get into some other games a little bit later, the first thing for me is Virgil Osberry will be the guy, okay? And since he is now the permanent athletic director, there are some pros and cons to it. I will start with the cons, and that, of course, is the very serious nature of what he has been involved with the past, with the Hush Blackwell report. And then, of course, another con is that he's never been the permanent AD before. Now, there are a lot of pros where, you know, I've been speaking to some of our Discord members, some in the chat, some via private DMs. One thing that a lot of them have expressed to me, and what I've seen in our YouTube chat as well, is that you want somebody on this team and in this program that would rather die than have LSU fail. And Verge is one of those guys. And, you know, I'm not a big believer in talking a big game, but Verge talked the absolute biggest game, almost as big as Brian Kelly did at times, saying that LSU should be in the college football playoff every single season. So what I can tell you is that there's never been, and this includes Scott Woodward and Brian Kelly, there's not been someone that is at the head of LSU that loves LSU more than Virge Osberry does. This guy has dedicated his entire existence to this program. So he is going to fight tooth and nail because this is his big shot, a shot that he thought probably was never going to come with Scott Woodward on the streak that he was on before the Brian Kelly thing actually happened. So that's a big pro, right? And then, of course, he has, you know, kind of talked against what Jeff Landry has said publicly, that he's just going to find the best football coach imaginable, not to worry about the incentivized contracts, if you will. I am really excited to see where the search is going to go. I'm also very concerned, because this was a day where nothing stupid happened. And we thought yesterday was going to be a day where nothing bad happened, because we already knew that Verge is going to be the permanent AD. And then, of course, we had what we had to happen yesterday. Now, we get into the LSU-Alabama breakdown. And to me, the biggest difference between these two teams, outside of quarterback, where Ty Simpson has exceeded all expectations and Garrett Nussmeier has fallen below all expectations, there are two of the few pocket quarterbacks in the SEC. Most quarterbacks in this conference are more known for their running than their passing. They make most of their plays with their legs, where these two are two of the few. The difference is that Ty Simpson has actually ran some. And while Garrett has run some, Ty, to me, has been a little bit more effective with his legs, a little bit more willing with his legs. You know, Ty's accuracy has been off versus South Carolina. It was not great. But there are other games where he's been amazing. Missouri, he was pinpoint. ULM, he was 17 of 17. I know it's ULM, but that was the week after he lost to Florida State. So this is the best quarterback we have faced. But the big benefit, of course, is that he doesn't have the same juice in terms of mobility as some of these other quarterbacks, including the one we will play next week versus Talen Green. That's a very good thing for this LSU defense, because obviously quarterback mobility has been a huge problem for Blake Baker, and it's been a huge problem throughout the Brian Kelly era. Now, we get into the actual stats of this matchup. One that really sticks out to me is the red zone. All right, the red zone touchdown percentage between these two teams, it is a massive discrepancy. Alabama is top five in the SEC when it comes to red zone touchdown percentage, and LSU is in the bottom three in the SEC when it comes to red zone touchdown percentage. Alabama scores a touchdown two out of every three times when they get into the red zone. LSU scores a touchdown one out of every two times. It doesn't sound like it's that big of a difference, but It's huge. It's absolutely positively massive. And, well, we have not been good on the red zone defensively either. We do not have a good touchdown percentage in that aspect. The bonus, though, is that this LSU defense has been really good at times where the other teams have not gotten into the red zone all too often. But, you know, when you get down into that area, how easily you score really does matter, right? Alabama does a good job scheming a lot of things up to get into the end zone. And then, of course, Ty Simpson has been pinpoint in that area. If you are interested, you can go to Power Hour SEC. We have done a gazillion Ty Simpson film studies. I did not know going into the season that Alabama would be one of the bigger teams on Power Hour SEC. So we've done a lot of Alabama breakdowns. Their defense is really good. This isn't a typical Saban defense. This wouldn't be a top seven Saban defense, but this defense is good. 18, Bray Hubbard is probably their best overall player, but man, they have some dudes on there that are absolutely killer. Deontay Lawson had a big interception in this game last year. He's number zero. Justin Jefferson, number 10 for Alabama, is a really good football player. In fact, before we get to some of your comments here, let's take a look at their PFF grades, and boom, you can see for yourself that this defense, you could see Bray Hubbard, really highly rated player, but then these corners for Alabama have been good. Now, I will say, Dejon Lee, number 5, Xavien Brown, number 2, and then number 1, Damani Jackson, you can beat them over the top, right? There was a double move versus Georgia that they gave up. There was a huge explosive touchdown. So if you can get vertical, you can be able to move the football through the air versus this defense. Now, one thing I will also say, and this is to me the big stat going into what LSU really hammered home this past weekend in their press conferences, is that Alabama is the second worst rushing defense in the Southeastern Conference. Let me repeat, on a yard per carry basis, this is the second worst defense. And if you really sit down and watch that Texas A&M game and you watch that South Carolina game, you could see that LSU did have some good runs. Now, this is where it's about to get really nerdy. I'm not going to pull up the chart here, but you can go see it right now on Patreon. Ask anybody. A Patreon membership is well worth it. If you sign up for the Patreon right now, you'll get your first month free on me, and I'll send you a Joe Burrow card in the mail. Sign up now. I'll get an alert. The link is down below, and I want you to see this chart that we dug up where LSU in the SEC is the best rushing team when the ball is at or near midfield. Okay, they are the best rushing team, but they are by far the worst rushing team when they get into the red zone, by far. And what you'll see with the chart is that the line, in terms of efficiency, goes up like a mountain and comes down like a mountain and then just keeps sinking. It's like an Enron stock. It's like ESPN bet stock right now. It is going straight down. And that would technically be Penn stock. If you keep up with that, you would get the reference. But it's insane. LSU can run the football when the football is not in the most important portion of the field for your offense, which is the scoring zone. It's a red zone. And to increase the sample, I like to include the 30-yard line on in. All right. So why can't LSU football run the football in the red zone? Well, so much of red zone rushing is your quarterback rushing, and Garrett, of course, doesn't give you anything there. And we also get very predictable when it comes to that portion of the field. We can get a little bit more creative, okay? But go to patreon.com, sign up. You can see the full study. I worked really hard on it. I know these type of football studies get lost when there's a coaching search going on because everybody just wants to talk about who the next guy is. But I do want to include this, that on Saturday we will have our normal pregame, halftime, and postgame shows, thanks to our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and Laborde Therapy. But outside of just that, I want Saturday to be about the game. I really do. This is Frank Wilson's dream to coach this team as the head coach. This is Alex Atkins' dream, all right, to be the play caller of a P4 team. There's a lot of coaches getting to live their dreams for the first time, all right? So there are a lot of players on this team that sacrificed millions of dollars to not quit on the team in redshirt. And it shows you how good Brian Kelly's buy-in actually was with this team, because there were five players who were fourth-year seniors that had every right in their body to quit before the Ole Miss game, and they unselfishly decided to not do it. So I will say as a fan that we owe it to them to give them everything we have as fans as we go on the road and play Alabama. Some of my favorite moments as an LSU fan is when we've won these nothing games, spoiling someone else's college football playoff or college football dreams, if you will, like we did back in 2020 versus Florida. Okay, so I am so pumped up for that. Now, before we break down a few other things and then get into a statement from Brian Kelly, let's go to legendary CEO. How many red zones touchdowns all season? I could pull that up for you really quickly. Southeastern Conference, just to let you know that I'm not lying to you. Red zone conversions, and we'll pull this up just for one of our members. This is our legendary CEO. We really do appreciate all your super chats as well. All right, I'm hitting the wrong damn thing. Boom. Okay. So we go to here, touchdown percentage, and you could see Alabama, and I actually misspoke. I said that they score a touchdown on two out of every three possessions. It's actually better than that. Three out of every four times they get into the red zone, they score a touchdown. Whereas LSU, we're one out of every two times, just slightly better than one out of every two times, like 1.25 out of every two times we get into the red zone, we score a touchdown, which is not good. It's not good. Okay, you could see some of the better teams in the SEC, they have high touchdown red zone percentage. You could see Arkansas. Man, dude, Arkansas's offense has been historically good. It's just they're Arkansas, so they're going to lose. Okay? Now, let's get to a few other comments. Let's go to Murphy J. If Harlem can run the ball, Nuss can play action and go over the top. If not, same old, same old. We say hi to Victoria. What's up? Good to see you. My favorite triathlete on the planet. Let's go to Chance. Carter, you kind of had the scoop the other day, or the scooper. Yeah, Piper Hutchinson. She was a great guest. I actually, you know, whenever you have a guest on like that who's a first-timer, you know, I shared a few things about her before going on, is that, you know, I like to really vet my guests because, you know, we've never had a bad guest, and obviously she was phenomenal, one of our better guests. And, you know, part of the reason I want her on here is because I don't know anything about presidential searches. I did fail to ask a few deeper questions looking back on it, and I hate myself, but I always say that after every interview. There is a question that I always want to ask that I fail to do so. Okay? We said a King M. We said a 904 Drew. Let's go to S. Bean. What's up? I think I know who this is. Saturday night will be a tell-all for the remaining season. Yeah, I think so. You know, what he means by tell-all, I don't think he's saying, hey, if we don't win, we can't win the final games. I think what you're saying is, do we get that typical interim bump before we go into the final few weeks of the season where most of the focus will be on the next coach of LSU? Okay? Let's see. I want to get to this right here. You know, there's quite a few people that were wondering if Brian Kelly was going to say something to the LSU fan base, and he finally did, and I do feel like it's owed to him for us to bring it up. And I will say it for our podcast listeners. Dear Tiger fans, moving to Baton Rouge 4 years ago, my family and I were clear. There would be no halfway. We would be all in for LSU and for Louisiana. Yeah, okay, so let's start here. And I said publicly, tweeted this out, that this was a beautiful message. I don't agree with the first portion. I don't think he was all in. And I could get into why for a few different reasons. I'm not saying that he didn't, that he just mailed it in overall, but there's a lot of things I could point to for him being a little bit more all in. We continue. The journey began with great expectations with my own vision of how to get there. Sometimes the journey does not end the way that we hope. But when I think of our time together, I will remember and appreciate what we accomplished. A Heisman Trophy winner and more than a dozen Tigers playing on Sundays. 39 players, all SEC Academic Honor Roll in 2024 alone. My daughter and son earning advanced degrees from LSU, and at 30 began his career working at the university. The roar of Death Valley when we beat Alabama in 2022. The losses will always hurt, but I will remember all of the wins. Okay? You know, the problem with the roar of Death Valley when we beat Alabama is that it kind of sticks you, and this is obviously some analysis before we get to the final portion of this. That will always just kind of stick you in the heart, right? Because you would just go back and say, damn, I wish we had more victories like that. But we continue. I don't need to tell any of you how special Saturday nights in Tiger Stadium are. I'm honored to have worn the purple and gold and been a part of it. As everyone heads on their way to see the Tigers play, I wish Coach Wilson, the coaches, and our players the best this weekend. I know they will do their best for themselves for LSU. We'll be watching and cheering for you. The journey may have ended, but it's a journey that will stay with me and my family forever. Go Tigers. Beautiful statement. I have no complaints about that. I do think it's, and you don't want a statement like that to be too long. But I wanted to share with you, if there was one chart that you could seriously point to as to why Brian Kelly got fired. All right, I actually think there's two. This was another Patreon statistical deep dive that we did. It is up for you, patreon.com/LSU football. And if you're a YouTube member, these YouTube membership, these studies are also posted on the YouTube membership. So you could see legendary CEO has a cool little insignia next to his name. He signed up for the membership. So you just hit that join button, and there you go. All right. I want you to look at this. And if you're not really a stat guy, I will break this down for you. And if you're listening, I'll break it down for you as well. Okay? So what this chart is showing is a chart of how many top 1,000 Shrine Bowl players are on each and every team. All right, so what is a Shrine Bowl player? Well, every year, there are a few college all-star games that are held for current college football players that they can go and showcase their talents for NFL evaluators. And it's not just the game itself, it's the week leading up to the game. So there's two big ones, all right? And there's more than just these two, but there's two big ones, okay? There's the Senior Bowl that is held in Mobile, Alabama. And then there's also the East and West Shrine Bowl that is held in Las Vegas. So the Vegas one is the one who comprises a Shrine Bowl 1000. And basically what these numbers show are the 1000 players that the Shrine Bowl are evaluating to eventually send out an invite for them to come to their bowl game. All right. So it's not an official invite. Obviously, you can't invite all 1,000 players, but it's just guys that are on their watch list. So think of this as like a Heisman watch list, or, well, the Heisman doesn't do a watch list, but the Big NARC watch list. All these awards do like watch list, if you will. And basically, this is just a top 1,000, and I do think it only includes draft-eligible guys. I think so. And you can see that the x-axis of this chart is how many Shrine Bowl 1,000 watch list players are on LSU. And we were tied for third in all of college football for Shrine Bowl watch list players. The only other teams that were ahead of us, Texas Tech was number one, Alabama number two, Texas A&M number three, and we were tied for third. These are the following schools that were slightly behind LSU in Shrine Bowl players. And by the way, these four schools are the only four that had north of 20 Shrine Bowl players. All right. So right behind LSU, we have Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Miami, Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, Ole Miss, and Georgia. All of these teams are in the college football playoff, or the current iteration of the college football playoff. We are the only one. All right, now Miami isn't, but they should be. They've choked because they have Mario Cristobal, who in many ways is a Brian Kelly clone, because, well, he's really good at making really big mistakes with in-game coaching. But all these other teams, Oklahoma's just outside the playoff. Notre Dame is in the playoff. Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State. We have, what, seven more Shrine Bowl guys in Indiana and Ohio State? They're the number one and number two teams in the country. Now, we'll say Indiana and Ohio State, they would have more if you would include, in particular for Ohio State, underclassmen for their Shrine Bowl 1,000. But this right here, this chart, if you were to show anybody that is defending Brian Kelly, this is how big of a disaster the season actually was. We are the only team. Look, we are the only team. Now, Baylor's been a disaster, but they're a little bit behind us. Auburn as well. Michigan, Penn State, and Missouri. Okay? There is no reason for this team to be a three-loss team right now. No reason. Murphy J says, according to an article I read on the internet, 68.4% of internet statistics are made up. Yeah. So what if I told you that that article you read is probably made up? Because stats don't lie. They do deceive, though. All right. Stats hardly ever lie, but they can deceive you, right? Now, coming up next, we will get into the juiciest coaching rumor right now in the SEC. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, Did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563 or visit fortifiedgulf.com. Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaBoardTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaBoardTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaBoardTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region. There is some heavy, heavy James Franklin and Arkansas steam going on right now. I am a little bit perplexed as to why James Franklin's name has not popped up more for LSU, Florida, Auburn, and so on. But I'm talking about not just me, like actual people that cover Arkansas every single day. They've heard the same, okay? Very fortunate to played high school football in the state of Arkansas. Got to have lunch right before the season with a bunch of Arkansas boosters. Shout out Little Rock. It was a great experience for me doing Arkansas film studies, and I still do. But that doesn't mean anything until you sign on the dotted line. I would not want James Franklin as the next head coach of LSU, though. I would not. It's just not me. Okay. But I just wanted to put that out there. Now, as far as other coaching rumors are concerned, there is a really good fake Ross Dellinger burner account that's out there. Do not get scintled by him. You can get very mixed up. This guy is really, really, really good at hiding the fact that he is a fake account. Has Ross's picture and everything. So be on the lookout for that. Okay. Now, next thing, I think there is one bet that I love this weekend in the SEC that I adore, that I would take to the bank. And we've already seen some line movement with it. Texas A&M and Missouri. Now, if you could still get 6.5, I got it at 7. I don't mind taking it at 7. I think A&M blows them out. I really do think so. Missouri without Bo Perbula, I think A&M's a special team. And look, I'm not going to get too carried away with them ending the Brian Kelly regime. But you're getting Texas A&M off a bye week. Missouri a little banged up. I wasn't too high on Missouri going into the season. You know, the one thing Missouri can do that we can't is run the football. And we did have some success actually running on Texas A&M. So the Ahmad Hardy show could be on full display. We'll see. We then get to the morning game. Georgia 9.5-point favorites over Mississippi State. This seems like the side here is Georgia. You know, Georgia is not going to be a sexy play for the rest of the season because they have not won one, not two, not three, but four games this year where you could seriously say, how in the hell did Georgia win that game? Down 10-0 on the road versus Auburn, they win. Then they are losing to Florida. They find a way to get it done. They're losing to Tennessee. They find a way to get it done. This is a scrappy Bulldogs team. But I do think the dogs here are loose. And I'm not talking about the clanga, clanga, clangas. And Mississippi State has been the feistiest SEC team on the season. They have not gotten blown out. They have been competitive in pretty much every game. The upset victory at home versus Arizona State. But I do think Georgia rolls here. Citadel and Ole Miss. Will Lane have a concentrated, locked-in team? We saw what they did versus Washington State. We get to Vanderbilt and Auburn. Vanderbilt, 6.5-point favorites versus Auburn, but the total currently floating at 45.5. You know, for me, I still like the under in this one. I do think this game will be competitive. Obviously, yeah, the first week of the DJ Durkin interim era. So I guess I would lean under, even though that total is low at 45.5. Another 45.5 total is Kentucky at home versus Florida. Every year you get that one victory from Mark Stoops, and that victory already happened versus Auburn, a game that you thought that they were not going to win. They won 10-3. They welcome in a Florida Gator team that's down on their luck. This is a team that should have beaten Georgia last week in a rivalry game. Will they be up at 3-5 versus these Kentucky Wildcats? One thing we could say about Florida this year is that they're not an explosive offense. They have not put up 30-plus points since the season opening game versus LIU. So I do think Kentucky finds a way to move the football some. So I am leaning Kentucky here, but, you know, Florida-Kentucky is always an ugly game. And then we get to LSU-Alabama. I've already given out my pick a little bit earlier for this one. I do think Alabama rolls. I don't like the fact that LSU goes into this game with the offensive tackle situation being the way that it is. I would feel a little bit more comfortable about this if LSU had a good tight end room. They have an elite receiving threat at tight end in Tre'Davious Green. They just don't have a single tight end on the roster that they trust that can block. Bauer Sharp has been a disaster this season for LSU. So, you know, when you have bad offensive tackle play, one thing you can do to help is have your tight end staying in block. That's why I would play Donovan Green more. I would play him a whole hell of a lot more. I know Bauer Sharp gives you more as a receiver, and his speed is truly great for a tight end. But I am leaning Alabama covering the spread comfortably, 31-13. Now, here's the problem with that, though. Okay, the biggest criticism of Kalen DeBoer is that the games where they should obviously take care of business, they never do. Okay. South Carolina was a good example of that. But I will say Alabama as a 12-point favorite on the road versus South Carolina, there was a lot of sharp people on South Carolina. Big, big, big bets on the Gamecocks. This is a little bit different, all right? It's not really that big of a shock with South Carolina being in the tank that they came out and played hard with that great home field advantage. This is a little bit different, though. This is very different, in fact. So, for me, with Alabama being in a spot where no one's giving LSU any shot of winning this game, that's why you should go bet the Tigers. Okay? So, there you go. Let's go to Pegasus. Card, if you had to make a guess, what week would you expect a new head coach to be named? I think it's going to be pretty late, y'all. I do. I really, really, really do. Okay? Now, I want to thank... wait, what was this? Make sure. Okay. That was another burner account posting something fake. I want to thank the Go team for having me on their show last night. Zombie Bob, I appreciate you. Zombie Bob's a big-time viewer of the channel. I really, really, really do appreciate it. Now, We do have one final break, and then we'll wrap up this glorious show. And oh, I'm supposed to have it pulled up here. Oh, okay. Here we go, right after this.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Big congrats to LSU Soccer, the real football. They upset Mississippi State, and then they will go on to play in the SEC championship game. I couldn't name a single player on this team, and I love soccer, so I feel like a poser here. But I am happy to see LSU win in God's chosen sport. Outside of American football. Let's go to Temple of Brutus. Go Tigers, beat Bama in their own house. I would love to see it. Now, as always, on Thursdays, I like to be a little bit more brief. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, answer as many questions as you possibly can. Or I will try to answer as many comments as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. Let's see. LSU wins 96-60 over Tarleton State. I do not want to get too excited about LSU men's basketball just yet, okay? Now, I mentioned Brian Kelly's statement a little bit earlier. This is Virge Alsbury's statement here, okay? Let's go through this. Dear LSU family, as an important part of the Tigers community, I want to share with you directly that President Roos this afternoon formalized my appointment as the LSU Director of Athletics. We're quietly assessing candidates for head football coach, and we will accept nothing short of finding a coach who will make the Tigers a national championship contender year in and year out. Stewardship of LSU athletics is an honor and the work of my entire lifetime. I will not fail you. Thank you for your strong commitment to LSU. I know we're going to continue to do great things together. In Louisiana, our flagship institution enjoys the advantages of a talented staff, rich traditions, and passionate fans. With our big personalities and commitment to winning, we expect to succeed across the board every year. As Tigers, we accept no less. We are LSU. Go Tigers. Let's go to Pegasus. Is Ohio State the only elite team this year, or is it just a bunch of really good teams? Well, we'll see how they do versus Indiana in the Big Ten Championship. Murphy J says, why not Frank? Well, why not? Why not? I'm open to it. I wouldn't do it. It would be somewhat low on my totem pole, but I'm open to it. It still is crazy, though, that LSU in 2021 almost pulled that off versus Alabama. And it is important when it comes to handicapping these games. Brian Thomas Jr. scored a touchdown early in that one. That you factor in that this is not a normal game. This is our season. This has always been our season. And once again, there is a lot of wacky stuff that can happen at the end of this season. Okay. If LSU wins out, they will have a playoff case, if you will. They would have a case. They wouldn't get in, but they would have a case. All right. So you take a look at the three LSU losses. Who are they against? Ole Miss, who's probably going to be a playoff team. Vanderbilt. You would need Vanderbilt to lose two times for you to get into the playoff. Vanderbilt's only got three games left on the season. They play Auburn, Kentucky, and Tennessee. You would need them to lose twice for you to get in over Vanderbilt because they own the tiebreaker, beating you the way that they beat you in Vanderbilt, in Nashville. But you take a look at the SEC hierarchy. A&M's way ahead of you. You're not catching them. Georgia's way ahead of you. You're not catching them. Alabama, even if you beat them, they're ahead of you. All right, but for you to get in, if you went out, you're getting in over Tennessee. If you went out, you would need some help to get in over Texas. If you went out, you're going to be in over Oklahoma. You would need some help with Missouri as well, but once again, what would Missouri's best win actually be? I don't know. But if they lose to Texas A&M, they'll have three losses as well. You would probably have a better resume than Missouri. Okay. What about Ole Miss? Well, Ole Miss is going to get in ahead of you. So you're going to be fifth in the hierarchy pretty much no matter what. All right, A&M's so ahead of you. Georgia's so ahead of you. Alabama, you would need them to lose twice, which is not happening. So even with Alabama only having two losses, one of which is to you, you're not getting in over them with three if they only have two, right? And then, of course, Ole Miss is going to get in over you. You know, they only have, what, they have one loss at this point. So if you went out, you're at best the fifth team. Can the fifth team get into the college football playoff from the Southeastern Conference? Well, Texas and Oklahoma right now are the fifth team. They're the first teams out of the field. So, yeah, LSU can get in if they went out. Still a long shot. A very short shot. My favorite non-SEC team to watch? I mostly do just watch SEC, but honestly, one of them is Kansas. I'm a big fan of Lance Leipold. Love watching Kansas play. I know they're not that great this year. I love watching Oregon. I do. Dylan Thielman and Dante Moore and the Ducks, they're fun. Indiana's a lot of fun. You know, ACC football is just chaotic. It's just chaotic. Okay? All right, we'll take a few more here and get ready for Thursday night football. Alex says no running game. Put your comments on it. As I do the distal. That's cool. That is really cool. Shout out to Derek Queen, making my life a lot better as a Pelicans fan. I feel bad for Chargers fans thinking that Trevor Penning is going to be the answer to their problems. But they traded for him. We'll see what happens. So there you go. Good show. I'm going to beat you out the door. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but good to see you. Let's go to Peter watching in Ireland. You got me smiling across the pond thinking of an LSU playoff berth. Well, I mean, you also need a lot of help. You know, I think one thing that really helps LSU is that the ACC and the Big 12 have a higher likelihood of just being a one bid league. And then, of course, you have the Group of Five school. There's only going to be one Group of Five school. So you then need some help in some of the other Big 10 schools just losing. You want a lot of chaos in the Big 10 towards the end of the season. Once again, you're probably not going to get in over Alabama. You're probably not going to get in over Georgia. You're definitely not getting in over A&M. No chance. And then you're not getting in over Ole Miss. So you would be the fifth SEC school getting in. Okay. You would also need Notre Dame to lose. Notre Dame losing would be big. I didn't know Bryant is an Irish Celtic name. I didn't know that. Me and Jason Tatum are related. That is crazy. Y'all didn't know that. My uncle is Larry Bird. And my great-great-great uncle is Red Orbeck. I did not know that. But I've always felt the lineage in my blood. Okay. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. Great show tonight. Don't forget, you'll get a pregame, halftime, and postgame show for Saturday night in Bryant-Denny. Now, a few years ago, before the 2022 Alabama LSU game, the biggest moment of the Brian Kelly era. All right. I did a podcast on why we should celebrate the LSU-Alabama game. It was the last true edition of LSU-Alabama. Now, what did I mean by that? Well, it was the last time those two played a game where the playoffs were decided by that game. Right? If you lost that game, you were out. If you won that game, you were likely going to the playoff. And that had been the case for a decade. And then obviously after that, you know, the big thing about that game was it knocked Alabama essentially out of the SEC championship. And it also knocked them out the playoff. They ended up being the number five overall team. But now with the 12-team playoff, it's not the same. But now it is for real. the last LSU Alabama game, because we will not play them every year. And to me, the most undertold story of this coaching search is the new schedule. It is going to look so different playing a 9-game conference schedule. Okay? It is a different beast. All right, y'all. We'll see you on Saturday. Don't forget. And I normally just do it for the live streams, but by midnight tonight, if you sign up for the PHL Patreon, you get your first month free. If you don't like it, you can just cancel, and I'll send you a Joe Burrow card. That's how much I believe in the product. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight, we are doing gumbo. My mom made some gumbo and sent it to me. Let's go.